One of the things that I'd like to think of is Milena mentioned that she likes to fill out things along with the lessons. So this is my first time trying this. I put together this little walkthrough for everybody, and I thought, you know, maybe I would just make it for the kids this morning, but I think I had more adults ask for one this morning. So if you don't have one, I printed some extras. And really the idea is just to kind of follow along with the lesson today. And then I have the verses to fill in and just some things that we can think about as we go throughout the lesson. Now, of course, I'm just looking for one word in these blanks, but really I have the entire scripture reading under the word that really puts emphasis on the word that we're looking for today. So I hope that you would follow along with me with that today as we get into our study and our lesson. And again, I hope everything that I prepared for you this morning, I hope that it brings some things to mind as we go on throughout the rest of our week, that hopefully it inspires us to think about where we are in our Bible studies and where we are in our lives as we start to focus on our Christian lives as we go throughout the week. And I hope we can focus on these things, because today I'd like to talk about some of the things that may happen to us just with everything going on. Now, with everything going on, I just mean the current situation. This has been a very unusual situation that everybody has been in, right? So I have a whole bunch of pictures of things up here that represent maybe different things that are happening with us right now. A lot of the pictures where it shows people waiting in line or with the traffic, those are people waiting on COVID shots. And of course, we have the rioters at the Capitol. And also, I have pictures of laptops and people on Zoom, because a lot of us are working from home, right? There's a lot of remote work that's happening. So all of these things that are happening to our lives right now, they're causing us to view things a little bit differently. They're causing us to maybe have to work longer, to have to work harder, especially maybe to fill in for the people that are sick or to help possibly with other groups that we hadn't worked with yet. So a lot of us may feel like this. I think it's pretty funny. People are saying, wow, Kyle, you're burning the candle at both ends. I always feel like I'm that last picture over here where the candle's just on fire all the way through it. That there is no really both ends, just the whole candle is just melting. There's no longer any both ends to it. And that's kind of how I feel as I go throughout my work week, because a lot of us have these distractions and these things that are happening to us that cause these burnouts. Now, there's a lot of studies that can be done on this, and that's not really what this is about this morning, but a lot of the things would come with the rise of social media. If I were to show some graphs and charts about how addicted people are to social media and social media accounts, it would show the rise of our attention spans and the rise of how often we check our devices. All happened around the 2010, 2009 with the rise of social media. And it skyrockets, right? Depression, suicide rates, everything skyrockets about that date. And I don't mean just percentages. I mean like 200 to 300% changes, like drastic changes. So that leaves me today to think about how often are we bored? How often do you think, you know, wow, I'm bored. I used to think of this when I was younger. Like, man, I'm bored. And I don't think I've said that probably in the last 25 years. Seems like there's a lot going on and a lot to focus on. However, but embracing boredom might be something that could be very important to us, but we've never really taken the time to step back to think about it. So hopefully today, along with the lesson, we'll kind of think about this idea of embracing boredom. Now, the idea that I got from this lesson comes from two books, just real quick. One is called Deep Work, and one's Thinking Fast and Slow. The idea is that we are so bombarded by things happening, we don't take time to actually sit back and just think or reflect or to think about our lives or to think what God has done for us. How often have we been sitting somewhere or just talking to someone and we check a device or we get distracted by the news or we think about something else? How often do we accept boredom? How often do we think Let me just sit here for a minute. I don't have to be entertained. I don't have to read this. I don't have to check the news. I don't have to look at the newspaper or whatever vice that is that distracts you from the current situation. Now, there's this idea of sporadic boredom, and that's kind of what I want to talk about today. Is it really bad to be bored? Unless it's a chronic state, I'm not talking about somebody that sits around all day and is like, I'm bored all the time. That's a different problem, and I see Nan's laughing. That's a different problem. I'm talking about sporadic boredom. Because I think, isn't it fantastic that we can afford to get bored? That we don't have to be out there hunting for food for ourselves and our children? Isn't it great that we don't have to live in constant fear, but that we can allow our minds to fill at a state of ease and be bored? Isn't that interesting? Because our time is very important to us. To be able just to sit and reflect, to have this idea of boredom, or to sit and maybe read the Bible, or to think about what God has done for us. Because we need to keep in mind how we are redeeming our time. So this comes from Colossians 4, 2 through 6. And let's just read this real quick. Redeeming the time. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door from the world to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. I often think, am I thinking so much about other things that I do not take this time to sit and reflect? Now, I'm not saying that you do this just in boredom. I'm just saying, do we take some time away from all of the things that distract us to sit and appreciate these things? Because how will we redeem this time? How can we walk in wisdom? And also, this also talks about us being away from the world. Sometimes we have to take that step back from everything that's going on in the world for us to reflect on these things. Because this is also mentioned in Ephesians about redeeming the time. So Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as a fool, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Now, when you think about the days are evil, I think just about any time period of any day is evil. Take, for instance, Mom, Dad, and myself, and Emma, and Jacob. We were all walking the other day. We walked to a park that had a war memorial. And if you were to connect all of the dates, there wasn't a date that there wasn't a war. Right, so you think about all days are evil. Well, yeah, you know, that is something that it talks about. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Sometimes we need to redeem our time to sit back and think, what is the will of the Lord? To let us reflect, to use that time, to set aside that time, maybe even just to reflect or just to breathe or to put our mind at ease to think about what God has done for us. Because we want to be well-pleasing to Him. We want to use this time in a way that is pleasing to Him. So 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 10, we're going to discuss this point. So starting here in verse 6, it says, "So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight." We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. To think that we can use our time, to think about how important it is to use our time. And here a couple years ago, I took a class, and this was a health class, and one of the things that the teacher talked a lot about was, you have no control over certain situations. You have absolutely no control. And I put three up here that just make me reflect of things that I don't have any control over. Now, the reason I put class was, is this was a 4.5-hour Saturday morning class that started at 7 a.m., right? So I was kind of bored. And it was a long class that only met once a week, so it took a long time. And she always kind of started off with this idea that if you want to get a good grade, and if you want to come in and learn and do something, you're going to have to get over this idea that you can't speed up time. You can't make the class go any faster than what it's going. You need to accept what's going on so you can actually get that out of your mind so you can learn something. And I hope to say that I'm not boring everybody, and I hope that you're not thinking, wow, Kyle, all right, you've already talked for 20 minutes. Let's get on. But it is something to think about. Also, we might be stuck in traffic. How often have you been stuck in traffic and you're aggravated or you're mad about the situation that's happening? You have to be somewhere on time, but there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing. You can be mad, you can be upset, or waiting in line. We don't have any control over that situation. However, we do have opportunities while we're in traffic, whether we're in class, learning something new, or waiting in line to reflect on things. We don't have to entertain ourselves with a device, checking the news, looking at social media, being distracted. We can actually utilize this time. There's also a business case to this, and I don't really want to get into it too much, but it always says that the top leaders in businesses always take time to be bored because innovation normally comes out of boredom. Normally, when you let your mind drift or you reflect or you think about things, you put yourself at ease so you can make connections that you may have never have done before. So think about that. While we're studying the Bible, or if you're in traffic or waiting in line, to think about those things that you can connect together about our Christianity. Because these things right here, maybe even just from these words, traffic, class, waiting in line, it can cause anxiety just in these words. And that's what we're trying to get away from, right? In this state of boredom, we're trying to get away from these anxieties of life. Because I deal and work with students all over the nation. And I can tell how anxious they are and how concerned they are. Take, for instance, their first homework project's due on Monday, and I already probably have a list of emails about how nervous or anxious they are that they're trying to get a good grade or maybe something has happened and they need something answered. But here in Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Be anxious for nothing." That is difficult in itself right there, just those first four words. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." As I go through the rest of this sermon today, think about all the times that it mentions prayer. I often think, if I have nothing else going on, if I'm just sitting there for a minute, kind of letting my mind wander, what a perfect time to be in prayer. What a perfect time to reflect back and think about these things. And to think that God will guard our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ. Because we know our life is short. Our lives are very short. We're only here for a little bit. And if you're a study of history, or if you enjoy history, when we think about our time on this earth, it is but a vapor. When you think about how many years that we're here, it is but a vapor. And James points that out in James 4:13 through 14. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, where you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. We are only here for a short period of time. We know what we are to do here on this earth. We are to spread the word and to teach others about Christ. We're only here for a short period of time. So living in anxiety or worry and not letting our minds wander or be in boredom could be detrimental to us, because we shouldn't worry about tomorrow. And again, aren't these words so easy to say but so hard to live by? These words are easy. However, the more we trust and think in Him, hopefully the easier it will be to live this way. And Matthew 6:31 through 34 says, therefore, do not worry. Again, very easy to say. Saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But keep first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Don't we have enough things that happen in each of our days that have their own troubles to them? Don't we have our own things that we need to focus on for that day, not to worry about what the next day will bring? Often I go to bed and I worry about some of the things that I might need to do the next day. They might cause confrontation, or they might be big issues that I need to resolve. And I worry about those, about how I'm going to handle those the next day. And then I'll wake up the next morning, and before I have a chance to fix whatever situation that is, I might receive an apology from that person saying, hey, I understand I did something wrong. Let's not worry about it. And I'm like, wow, I worried all night and it was fixed in 2 seconds. That has happened more times than I can even imagine. And now when I go to bed, I pray that whatever that fix is the next day will happen. Because I have more trust and faith and confidence that God will help me than I do whatever I feel like I fear the next day. Because if we were to focus on those things, we can give our mind a break. Now, I tried to add images up here that we could think about things that let our minds wander. Now, as you guys know, I love coffee and tea. And I like just to get up in the morning. If I'm lucky enough, I get up before the kids get up. And I have a moment just to drink a cup of coffee and just sit and think or reflect or just not have to worry about doing anything. Right? Just kind of like what I mentioned before. We live in an age where, you know, we don't have to wake up the next day and sharpen our arrows to go out and hunt for food. We don't have that worry. We don't have that concern. That we have this opportunity that we can sit back and reflect. And I asked Jenna what image to her just makes her feel relaxed, and she said the ocean, so I pulled up this picture of the ocean, where you would just want to sit back and think and just reflect and let your mind go at ease. Because I fear today that we may not be doing enough of this. And like before, I mentioned some statistics, and I'm not going to go through each of these, but the idea is ever since the smartphone was introduced, most people check it 47 to 50 times a day. And we even check it 85% when we're on the phone with other people. So we'll be on the phone with other people while we're doing other things, and our attention literally is in three or four different places. Also, it says that 80% check their phone after, you know, getting up, before going to sleep. 35% do within 5 minutes. As soon as you wake up, within 5 minutes of being alert, you're on your device. Isn't that a lot of information? That is a lot of information to handle, to think through. Now, we're not the only country that has a problem. I know that this says America's smartphone addiction. This is addiction issue across the board. And what it does is it takes our mental capacity away from other things. Also, in those books that I mentioned earlier, they mention that we have decision fatigue. That means that through a course of a day, we might have to make hundreds of thousands of decisions. Might even have to be like, what tie did I pick out and what suit jacket did I pick out this morning? Well, we get tired after we make so many decisions. We go into decision fatigue. Well, decision fatigue can lead to other things, like just the inability to disconnect. Always having to make that decision or do those things. And that's what we're doing when we're checking our devices. We're running out of our decisions. We're using up, like if we had a pool of decisions, we're using them up. So if we had a pool of decisions, and out of that we wanted to spend time to be in prayer and to study the Bible, have we worn ourselves out with other things in life? Because we know that there is a time for everything. And if we use our time wisely and use it correctly, I'm going to use Ecclesiastes here. Now, I'm not going to read each of these because I think everybody knows kind of where I'm going with this. That there is a time for everything. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to born, a time to die, a time to plant, pluck what has been planted, kill, heal, break down, build up, weep, laugh, mourn, dance, cast away stones, gather stones, embrace, refrain from embracing, gain, lose, keep, throw away, tear, sow, silent, speak, love, hate, war, peace. There is a time for those things. And right now, there's a lot of these things happening. Almost all of these things that I've mentioned here in Ecclesiastes are probably happening right now. If you were to read the news or to check social media, each of these things are probably happening in some sort of fashion. Especially with COVID going on, I think of that refrain from embracing. I don't know. I was just thinking about that. But there is a time for each of these things. However, we have this ability to cast our cares upon Him. Just like in 1 Peter 5 and 5, it starts off with saying, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him. For He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom may he devour. Resist him steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, established, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. God knows that these things are going to happen to us. I often think, if we're reflecting, if we have time to be bored and to think about these things that are happening, we can think of all the things that God has done for us. That He sent His Son to die on the cross for the remission of our sins. that we can be steadfast in His will. And to kind of close today, I wanted to end on this last verse. Because as we find our minds drifting and thinking of other things, or maybe entering into this state of boredom to where we can reflect on things, we might be thinking of this idea of meditation. And normally when I think of meditation, for some reason my mind always goes to prayer. Because I think, you know, meditation, prayer, you know, you're kind of reflecting and thinking and you're meditating on things. I often think of prayer. Psalms 19 and 14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight." So I often think of this passage, the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. We know that God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for remission of our sins. He is our Redeemer. I hope that this lesson today hasn't bored everyone. I hope that it was beneficial. I hope it has some ideas or some thoughts as we can go throughout the week, that as we find our minds being relaxed, we can think about these important things. And the most important thing we can think about is that God sent His Son to die on the cross for remission of our sins. That He asks us to follow Him and to do His sight. Of course, we know this is the entire duty of man. And if you would like to become a follower of His, if you would like to enter in to that kingdom and to follow Christ, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected this morning.